Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Astamai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Thursday, 6th of May 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the Isle of Man. And back around to the news, we got sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates. The newsmakers in person, no new cases of COVID-19. 12 active cases, one person in Noble's ICU. Alden House may be knocked down. Paul Rose Bridge closures are causing bus headaches. 7 out of 10 care home problems aren't fixed. Earnings up, but still some earn below the living wage. All on this flume-free Thursday at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, the update news headlines at 29 minutes before 6. Fastamai, Alex Watton.
Fastamai, there have been no new cases of COVID-19 for the fourth consecutive day. The number of active cases remains at 12, with one person in ICU at Nobles Hospital with the virus. A review into whether the island's minimum wage is appropriate is now underway. The Minimum Wage Committee is an independent one made up of employer and worker representatives, and the deadline for submissions is the 4th of June. And work to replace Paul Rose Bridge is causing disruption for those who rely on key bus routes. Politicians in the area are set to hold talks with Bus Fannin after elderly and vulnerable residents raise concerns about diverted services. Further afield, and dozens of French fishing boats are heading back home after surrounding the Jersey port of St Helier. It could be a sign the row between the UK and France over post-Brexit fishing rights may be diffusing after both countries and sent military vessels to the waters around the island. The Bank of England is expecting the best year for the UK economy since 1941. It's revised growth predictions upwards following success of the COVID vaccination programme and the expectation many people will spend savings built up during the pandemic. Manx Radio headlines, there'll be news in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Thank you, Alex, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. There's a strong wind warning in operation out in the North Irish Sea for the next 12 hours or so. A late sunshine, a moderate northwesterly wind after dark. It's going to be dry with a moderate wind coming in from the northwest. Overnight minimum is 3. For Friday, dry with a moderate to fresh southwest wind decreasing, turning southwesterly. Daytime maximum 11 for Jehenia, down to 4 through the night. Oh, Saturday, Jasan, wet and windy, strong to near gale force southeasterly. Heavy rain's going to clear up to showers during the afternoon as the wind turns to the south or southwest and eases slightly. Up to 12 degrees on Saturday, but probably won't feel much like that. Sunset is a minute to 9 tonight. Tides on the way back. High water 25 past 9. Low water 24 minutes to 4 a.m. Sunrise 5:30. And high water tomorrow morning 24 minutes to 10.
Find the latest ranges of high-tech windows, doors and conservatories at the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
So, no new cases of COVID-19 for the fourth consecutive day. Alex is back with the details.
The active number of cases remains at 12, and one person is still in ICU at Nobles Hospital with the virus. Of the active cases, 3 have been detected from people travelling, 7 from a known source, and 2 from an unknown source. 115 people are awaiting result notifications and 146 COVID tests are booked in for tomorrow. Turning to the vaccination rollout, and today has reached more than 75,000 doses administered. More than 59,200 of those are the first jabs, and more than 1,500 people are booked in to be vaccinated in the next 7 days.
The chairman of Ramsey Commissioners says a building posing a risk to the public in the town may need to be demolished. An emergency road closure is in place in Parliament Street after masonry fell from Alden House onto the path during bad weather. Once a shoe shop and at one time a florist, now the dilapidated building has been unoccupied for years. Here is the chair of Ramsey Commissioners, Andy Cowie.
I don't believe it's been in a position where we've had to step in. prior to this, the commissioner's powers are fairly binary. If a building is unsafe, we can step in and act. But not really before then. Obviously, we've been encouraging development in the town for a number of years, and it is a prime retail location. As I say, we understand the owner has had some quite interesting plans to redevelop it in a sympathetic manner, which we're very supportive of.
You say sympathetic. Will the site be restored, or is it at a stage now where it needs to be brought down?
The initial plans were to rebuild the building internally, keep the same exterior structure, I understand, which is great. It is in the town centre, so planning is quite stringent in that area, and a very attractive building and a key part of the Parliament Street as well. However, this, depending on the condition of the building, that may not be possible, and it may be that the building does need to be demolished and reconstructed, but we need to ensure that that is done in a, as I say, sympathetic manner, so it keeps the appearance and the feel of the town centre.
What about other buildings in the area? Has this prompted the commissioners to consider the state of other buildings in the around Parliament Street, particularly with historical interest?
This is something we've been doing for a number of years now. We have a buildings register that the commissioners review at every one of their monthly meetings, and we flag up any buildings that we have concerns with structurally or in terms of appearance. And we have been taking action and contacting the owners, or attempting to contact the owners in some cases.
Is that an issue, getting in touch with the owners in some points?
Occasionally. Most of the owners we've spoken to have been supportive and are taking action. As I said, this particular building, the owner's very keen to do some good sympathetic works on it, so that's fine. But there are some buildings where the owners have moved away and hard to contact. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, very few.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening. It's 23 minutes before 6. Work to replace Paul Rose Bridge is causing disruption for those who rely on key bus routes. Politicians in the area are set to hold talks with Bus Vannin after elderly and vulnerable residents raise concerns about diverted services. The £3.4 million project is expected to last at least 12 months. Douglas South MHK is Captain Paul Quine.
The regular bus service has had to be divided effectively into two separate services, 21B and the 21P. The buses have to route via the quarter bridge instead of their regular route via Pullrose Bridge, and that's presented a logistical challenge to the route planners at Bus Vannin. And from the opinion which has come my way, people generally accept that. Unfortunately, it's also brought about disruption for people who rely on the bus service, particularly linking Pullrose with Anniker, particularly those who need to access Snaefell Surgery and the associated pharmacy, as well as older people who need to attend the Anniker post office to collect their pension, as the two areas are not directly linked now from approximately 9:30 until 4:30, so pretty much all the working day.
And constituents clearly are raising this issue with yourself and fellow Douglas South MHK Claire Christian, as you mentioned. What are they asking you to do about it?
Well, as I said, both myself and Claire Christian are working on the issue. We both requested comment on the service via our respective Facebook pages and have received a good amount of feedback. And indeed, yesterday afternoon, I met with several residents of Hazel Court for whom the bus service is pretty much a vital lifeline. And I was happy to hear their concerns and suggestions. And it just revolves around timing, around accessibility, because some of them are the smaller hopper buses, which people of impaired mobility or older people can sometimes find difficulty boarding. So there are a couple of issues that have been flagged up. What I've heard back from the residents of the area, they've been very constructive in their suggestions. So both myself and Claire Christian have a meeting with Bus Vannin later today, and we're looking forward to putting those constructive proposals to them to see what we can work towards.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
21 minutes before 6. Manannan left Heysham at 2:03 this afternoon. She docked into Douglas about 4:20 this afternoon. Out again tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Heading for Heysham, arriving there 10:15. Back at 1:30 and arriving in Douglas about 4:15 tomorrow. Due to the closure of the border, the steam packets fastcraft season was delayed, obviously, to Liverpool. HSC Manannan didn't recommence services on Thursday, 25th of March. Of course, Manannan's providing cover for the Ben McCree's current period of overhaul, which is extended and finishes a week today. The motorship Arrow is currently providing the freight service.
Like the steam packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
More than 70%, over 7 out of 10 failings identified in care homes in the Isle of Man in the 2019-20 period are not yet fixed. Inspections found 540 requirements where facilities were not in full compliance with the minimum standards at the 52 care homes, adult care homes, on the Isle of Man. Sean Cowper.
Follow-up visits have since confirmed 154 requirements have been rectified, with work on the majority of the remaining issues delayed due to the coronavirus pandemic. According to the Care Inspectorate, a requirement should only be issued where there is evidence of poor outcomes for those who've used the service or the potential for poor outcomes. Requirements are also enforceable in law if improvements are not made. In a House of Keys written answer, Health Minister David Ashford says the registration and inspection team is in regular contact with providers to receive assurance that improvements are being made. There were also 10 improvement notices issued to homes which required urgent work or have had requirements carried forward to a third inspection. Two of these notices have since been fully lifted, but work is ongoing in relation to the other eight. In the 2020-21 period, there were 398 requirements issued and 28 recommendations, which will be checked again during the next inspections. However, the latest round of inspections was reduced due to the COVID outbreak, with some assessments taking place remotely rather than through a visit.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
18 minutes before six, Goldman Sachs is one of the first major banks to plan for a return to the office. Chief Exec David Solomon informed employees they should be in a position to return to the office by June the 14th in the United States and June 21st in the UK. Financial institutions appear split about the future of work. Deutsche Bank's joined the likes of HSBC in planning for hybrid work long term. And one of the biggest sovereign wealth funds in the world, Norway's wealth fund, is reshaping its working week, saying it won't require people to go to the office full time. Well, it's a big name, but it's in trouble. Peloton has recalled treadmills in America and Britain over a series of safety issues following investigations by a US watchdog. In the United States, 125,000 Tread and Tread Plus machines have been recalled after the death of a six-year-old child who was pulled underneath the rear of a Tread Plus machine. The watchdog has now highlighted the risk of injury or death to adults, children and pets if they get pulled under the machine. Tread machines sold in Britain are also being recalled because display consoles could fall off. In addition to the death, Peloton's had 72 reports of broken bones, cuts and grazes. Peloton's boss John Foley said the firm had made a mistake in not recalling the machines sooner.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets rose as investors monitored a slew of corporate earnings and comment. The dollar dropped, oil slipped, weighed down by rising COVID infections in India and elsewhere. Gold jumped on a weaker dollar, and in corporate news, NEX was back in the black after the retailer upgraded guidance for an annual pre-tax profit by $20 million to $720 million. Barratt Developments was higher as the house builder said it expects full-year results to be modestly above prior expectations. And Ramsey Crookall reporting on the close at the FTSE 100 in London, up 0.5% at 7,076. The DAX in Frankfurt, up almost 0.2% at 15,196. In New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial, up 0.5% currently, of course, still a mid-trading day, 34,419. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index, down 0.1% at 13,564. And the S&P 500 in Chicago, up just over 0.3% at 4,182. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1 US, 38.7 cents, €1, 15.1 cents, and 19 South African rand, 73 cents. And in commodities, gold up 1.5% at $1,813 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up just over 0.1% at $68.62.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Good evening. It's 6:15 live from the Isle of Man. And hello, if you're listening to this as a podcast, any time of day or night, anywhere in the world. Thank you for making Update, the Isle of Man's most subscribed to news podcast. And by the way, if you know someone who you think would enjoy a daily bulletin of news from the Isle of Man, tell them Update's available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker, Spotify, or the TuneIn app. You get details at the App Store or at manxradio.com. Earnings increased on the Isle of Man last year, but there are still some people making less than the living wage. Tessa Hawley with the details.
Figures published in the Isle of Man Earnings Survey show median weekly earnings went up in 2020 by 3.4%. According to the Cabinet Office, that means people were taking home £611 a week, or £31,853 a year. The median is the central point in a range of values. The annual survey is the equivalent of the UK's Office for National Statistics annual survey of hours and earnings. A random sample of 2,447 employees and 819 employers was analysed with questions sent to workplaces. From that, it's been determined that full-time employees worked an average of 38 hours per week last year. That's compared to 37.9 in 2019. 16.5% of workers earned less than the living wage, and 2.5% of employees earned less than the minimum wage. Details of employers which did not comply with the request for information have been passed on to the Attorney General's Chambers for a decision on whether to prosecute under the Statistics Act. You can find the full results of the survey at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Sport.
Bastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Bastamai, good evening. Well, Manx tennis folk have made a definite imprint on this year's LTA Tennis Awards. Currently in their sixth year, the ceremony celebrates the achievements made by outstanding tennis volunteers, coaches, officials, venues and players across Britain. Albany Tennis Club's Pat Sharp was the Isle of Man County winner in the Lifetime Achievement Award. Brian Walton from Isle of Man LTC was the Isle of Man County winner in the Volunteer of the Year category. And Sean Drury and Neil Ronan, Sean from Ramsey Tennis Club and Neil from Castletown LTC, were two winners in the Coach of the Year Development category. Pat, Brian, Sean and Neil are part of over 2,000 award nominations submitted across Britain. They will now, along with all the other county LTA Tennis Award winners, be considered for a regional award and, if successful, will be in contention to be crowned an LTA Tennis Award winner in July. Elsewhere, and it's that time of year again when women and girls are called on to put away their winter sport equipment and pick up a cricket bat instead. Women and Girls Softball Cricket Festivals return this month and are set to see you through the summer. The festivals are a celebration of the sport and also a way to encourage more women to give the game a go. The ball used is softer than an average cricket ball, meaning no pads or gloves are needed to play, and during the sessions you'll learn how to bowl, bat and catch, and also develop the skills you already have. No previous experience playing cricket is necessary to join in. The festivals are open to any female player. You can form your own team of eight players, join a local team, or you can sign up individually and be allocated to a team on the day. All the dates and information on how to book a spot can be found on this story at manxradio.com on our sports page. And further afield, the International Olympic Committee has accepted an offer from Pfizer to provide vaccines to athletes and support staff preparing to compete in Tokyo. The vaccines will be made available through each country's Olympic and Paralympic committees in a bid to protect as many people as possible before the start of the Games. IOC President Thomas Bach hopes participants will lead by example and accept the vaccine where and when possible.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Logan Air's 10 to 5 patient transfer plane to Liverpool, LM687, still hasn't gone yet. So it's almost an hour and 5 minutes late. It's supposed to be back on the island at 20 to 7, but we'll be pushing it at the moment, so just keep an eye on that. On the roads, temporary lights on Richmond Hill till next Tuesday. Preparation work for improvements to surface water drainage. In Ballasalla, temporary lights 24 hours a day till the 16th of July. They're building the new bypass by the new housing estate there. In Oncombe, Main Road and Avondale Road, repairs to the road surface taking place this evening outside of peak hours from 7 o'clock with traffic control in place. Look out, Main Road and Avondale Road Junction in Oncombe tonight. Portown Road's got temporary lights 24 hours a day for excavation work till Saturday. There are temporary lights on Albany Road in Peel for resurfacing. Peel to Kirkmichael Road's got temporary lights for resurfacing between Devil's Elbow and Glenwillan. Paul Rose Bridge is closed. Wybourne Drive's closed between Governors Road and Mount View Road for resurfacing in Oncombe. Of course, sections of Parliament Street closed to make Alden House safe. The versions via Tower Street and Water Street. And elsewhere, look for restrictions in Ramsey at Glen Elphin Road, South Promenade and Stanley Mount East.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Border rules for Manx residents are judgmental and government should be progressing a COVID passport scheme for those who are vaccinated, says Middle MHK Bill Shimmins. He says people have been confined here for too long and is calling on the Chief Minister to follow the European Union's lead and allow people who've had their vaccinations to travel freely.
Where is the differentiation for vaccination? Because we now know that that significantly reduces the risk, both to the individual and also to the wider community, because they're much less likely for infections to be passed. And this has been confirmed by so many scientific studies. So the question for me is, will the other man follow this route, and if so, when? That feels like a proper risk-based approach. Unfortunately, some of the regulations, including these and various ones over the last few months, have been judgmental. They've been overly complicated and they made judgments about individuals rather than looking at the risk that they actually pose. Honourable members, for too long our people have been confined by these border restrictions. The long-term damage that these restrictions have caused and continue to cause should not be underestimated. Very unhappy, very angry and very frustrated about the approach that the government has taken on borders. We need to acknowledge that, honourable members.
Passport vaccinations, will we follow them? And of course we're looking and closely monitoring passport vaccinations, but what do you do with people who can't have a vaccination due to their health issues? How do we look after them? These are all answers that and decisions that are going to have to be looked at in the future, and we will, of course, closely follow.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
In case it had slipped your mind, there's a Keys general election this coming September, and all the details, we have our own election website at manxradio.com. And work's underway to encourage more 16 and 17-year-olds to vote in the general election this September. A guide's been put together to teach younger voters about Manx politics. Joel Smith is from the Department of Education, Sport and Culture.
The arc of human history bends towards concepts like justice, freedom, rule of law, the pursuit of civil liberties. All of these things have been borne out and maintained by political participation, and these things are important to everybody, but in particular to young people. The future is very much theirs, and the island's future should really be influenced by what they have to say and their views.
Some might argue it's the candidates you need to speak to make sure that they're saying something that young voters want to hear.
Absolutely. I think there have been many issues over the past year or two that have really engaged young people, whether it's to do with climate change, the pursuit of undergraduate and postgraduate courses, or indeed issues which really spark activism, such as Black Lives Matter. And these are the areas, I think, which you're right, the would-be candidates, the people that step forward, really need to engage young people on in order to get them to the polling stations.
And are we doing enough in schools to teach about the political system, how the Manx system specifically works?
Indeed. I mean, the Manx political system is complex, so not immediately the most engaging topic, perhaps, but we have parts of the curriculum right through from primary through to secondary that dedicates to an understanding of the Manx system, Tynwald, how the Isle of Man government and politics affects young people, and how young people indeed can affect the Isle of Man government and political system.
There's also an online course this year.
Yeah, so this year we created a course on the learning platform It's Learning for any young person from year 10 through to year 13. And we've encouraged schools, since they've been back in normal functioning, to find time to get the pupils onto that course, which just runs you through some information, quick quiz, and then has a link in there through to registration for the general election. So we're really hoping that will increase our understanding in numbers as well.
That's it for Update tonight. By the way, lots more news at manxradio.com, including the story of the isolating resident who's called this changes to the self-isolation rules a fiasco. The Russian MHK talking about common sense prevailing with the reduced self-isolation, and the situation over the fishing dispute in Jersey, and lots more at manxradio.com. Updates compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Alex Watton, producer Tim Glover, I'm Andy Winton. Update returns Friday evening, tomorrow, 5:30. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
WINT.